Open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 8. While you're turning there, I have to say I was excited when I seen Chris get out of the truck because for a short minute I thought I might get to hear him preach this evening. But I'm certainly thankful you led the singing. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. One subject, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I want us to look here this evening at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The Lord willing, I want us to draw our attention to one particular verse here this evening. Look at verse 36 of Acts chapter 8. The eunuch asked this question. It says, As they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? That's the title of my message. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And I pray the Spirit of God would enable us to answer, see the answer to this question here this evening. I want us to see three things. First, what were the events leading up to this eunuch asking the question, What doth hinder me to be baptized? Second, what are the natural objections that we come up with that will hinder a man or a woman from being baptized, from confessing Christ? And then third, Philip's answer, the messenger of God, his answer to this question, what doth hinder me to be baptized? So first, what led up to this question? What brought him to this question? In verse 26, we see that the Spirit of God sent one of God's messengers. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem. In the book of John, the scriptures say he must needs go through Samaria. Every time we see a sinner in need, we see God sending one of his messengers to that one in need. In another place, Paul and Silas were placed in prison. There for that prison guard to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. And over the years, not just in God's Word, but by experience, we've seen God raise up men to preach the gospel in places that we never would imagine. He sends his messenger to his sheep, and he calls his people together by his grace. We read this. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? He sends his messenger to his sheep. Then we see that this messenger, he brings forth the message. The message from God's Word. And it's a message concerning the Lamb. The Lamb. The Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's the same Lamb that Abraham told Isaac about back there in the Old Testament. He said this, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Lamb of God. He is God. The Lord provides that lamb for himself. He's both just and justifier. And the Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. He'll see to it. He'll see the redemption of his sheep. He'll see that his law is honored. That his justice is satisfied, that his covenant is fulfilled, the eternal glory of his dear Son. He declared on the cross, it is finished, as he hung there, the sacrifice for his people. The Lord will provide himself a lamb. And this is declared, this truth is declared throughout God's Word. And the eunuch on this day is reading about a lamb. If you look at verse 27, you'll see the eunuch. He was returning from Jerusalem, the Holy Land, as men would call it. He had come to Jerusalem for the worship, and he was returning. And it would appear that he knew nothing more when he come back as when he went there. Maybe he felt a little bit holier. As men say they do. Again, they call it the Holy Lands, but I assure you it's just as sinful as the land we live in. In fact, if anything, it's an idol for men to take a trek to. But when Philip asked him, he said, do you understand what you're reading? Listen to his reply. He said, How can I except some man should guide me? Except some man should teach me. We notice here that this eunuch, he had a teachable spirit. This eunuch, if you think about it, he was somebody. I mean, he's a man of great, we read he's a man of great authority, a man of wealth, a man who had charge of all the queen's treasure. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? You know, imagine a man without a teachable spirit to ask that question, someone who is far above everybody else like that, and you say, do you understand what you're reading? What the natural response is going to be? Of course I do. Who are you to even ask me such a question? Not too long ago, there was a man in one of our school buildings, and he was a resource officer. I'd never seen him there before. Never before had I seen him. And I tried to offer a few suggestions to him. Just a few things that I thought might be helpful for him. Make his day a little bit easier. And his reply was this. I've worked in schools before. And I thought, he knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Yeah. But by nature, that's how we respond to everything. But that's how we respond to God's Word. I heard, I think it was Scott Richardson up in Fairmont. He was at a McDonald's and he saw a man reading one day. And he said he sat there and he ate and he went over and he asked the fellow, at some point, do you understand what you're reading? And the fellow just blew up. But listen, this man, he says, how can I accept some man should guide me? Oh, that the Lord would give us that He would give us a humble and teachable spirit, a desire to know more of Him. Philip opened his mouth. Look at verse 35. Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel to this eunuch. You know, as I was studying and preparing this message, I wondered how many men had went to Jerusalem for that same meeting. How many of them had loaded up and went down there and came back in the same condition? How many of them went empty and came back empty? How many other chariots were lined up on the road that day? Maybe they had the book of Isaiah open. Maybe they were reading. Maybe not. But how many were there in one of those chariots? Maybe caught up in something that they'd heard or something that they had seen, but they hadn't heard of Christ. They had not heard of the Savior. Yet this one man, this one particular man, this eunuch, on this particular day, a particular man, on a particular day, in this particular place, he's going to hear the gospel. He's an object. He's an object of God's mercy. And there he sits with his copy of Isaiah 53, reading, searching the scriptures. And Almighty God sends his messenger. He gives this eunuch a teachable spirit. He prepares that soil. You know, you just don't throw a seed on the ground and it grows. That soil has to be prepared. And God had prepared his heart to receive the word. And he preaches the gospel to him. He preaches the truth to him. Isn't that what God's done for many of us sitting here this evening? Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful that he's been merciful? Aren't you thankful that Almighty God has given you this place to come together, this place to gather together, and a faithful pastor to continually and boldly preach God's Word? Brady and I, not our youngest one, Brady, we were driving around here not too long ago, and there was a sign out in front of a building. And it said this. It said, Christian comedian. And Brady turned to me and he said, Dad, what is that? What is that? And we agreed it could be, it's entertainment. That's all that is. That's all that is. And honestly, probably some of the things that are said in that building, a comedian couldn't say anything worse than what would be said to men. Entertainment. I believe his brother Henry used to refer to that as people entertaining sinners on the road to hell. Let us never be anything but thankful that we have a place to worship, that we have faithful men to declare God's word. And this eunuch on this day, he's got a man that's going to preach the gospel to him. Ever wonder why me? Why would he show me mercy? Why would the Lord be merciful to me? I can't imagine that wasn't on that eunuch's heart that day. Well, Paul said this in his letter to the Galatians. He said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. How did I end up here? How did I end up under the sound of the gospel. I wonder how many times the eunuch looked back on that day, on what had happened that day, but probably not so much that day, but just the fact that God showed mercy to him. God sends his messenger. He sends his messenger to his sheep. He declares his gospel to them. And look here, it says Philip ran to him. Ran to him. You know, there's a sense of urgency, isn't there? You think about that. If somebody was laying out there in the parking lot having a heart attack, would we just stand around and walk, or would somebody run to him? Run to him. Jimmy, you do that in your work. You run to him. There's urgency. You don't walk to these things. In God's gospel, sinners, men are dying. He ran to him. He ran to him. Do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I, except some man should guide me? And then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture, and he preached to him Christ. One thing is needful, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was reading there in Isaiah 53 about he who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He who had no sin. He who knew no sin. Who did no sin. Yet he was made sin. The sinner's substitute. As our substitute, he was smitten, stricken of God and afflicted. Sin must be punished. How awful sin must be. It must be punished, even when it's found on God's dear Son, His only begotten Son. It must be punished. And as our substitute and our representative, He bore our sin. He bore our sin in His body on the tree. He stood in our place and made full satisfaction. Full satisfaction was made. He reconciled us to God by the obedience of His death. Turn over to Isaiah 53. Look at verse 11 of Isaiah 53. Here we read, He was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we're healed. Why? Why? Because of my sin. Why did He have to suffer? Why did He have to die? For the sins of His people. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Look at verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquity. One message, the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached. What did he preach? What was his message? He preached Christ to them. Robert Hawker was born in 1753 and he died in 1827. And he said this, "Oh, that modern preachers would do the same." That's what he said. "Oh, that modern preachers would do the same. Just preach Christ and Christ alone. Forget about building buildings. Forget about all these other things. Creating self-righteous people and all that garbage. And just preach Christ and Christ alone." Well, what leads up to this eunuch's question? A seeking sinner. God sending forth His messenger to preach Christ from the Scriptures. God given that eunuch a heart to receive His word, a teachable spirit. God in grace given faith to believe. And the eunuch says, "What doth hinder me? What doth hinder me from being baptized? What would hinder me from identifying with my Lord and Savior in His death, burial, and resurrection? What would hinder me from publicly confessing the Lord Jesus Christ? Confessing Him as my only hope." That leads me to my second point. What hinders a man from confessing Christ? What hinders a man? Is it my unworthiness? Could it be my unworthiness that would hinder me? We read about that Canaanite woman this morning over there in Matthew. And she came to the Master and she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." And our Lord replied and He said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And what did she say? She said, "Lord, help me. Help me." And our Lord replied again. He said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And what did she say? She said, "Truth, Lord. That's the truth. I'm a dog." And can't we all enter into that? Can't we all say that? "I'm a dog. I'm not worthy." Yet the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to her and He said, "Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." What doth hinder me? Maybe it's the corruption of my heart. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He's talking about himself there. Is it the corruption of my heart? Is it my fear of falling away that would hinder me? I'd confess Him, but I know my heart and fear that I would fall away. Turn to the book of Jude. Look at verse 24 of Jude. Here we read, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and ever. Amen." Am I afraid of falling away? Well, if I'm looking to myself, the answer to that question is absolutely yes. But He keeps His people unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. What doth hinder me? Is it the reproach of this world? Is it the opposition of family and friends? Philippians 3:8, Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, he said, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, whom I've suffered the loss of all things. None of these things matter. I don't count any of these things dear to me." He said, I count them but dung. Walk out in the pasture field and that which you get all over your shoes. He said, "I count it but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and Him alone." Maybe your former life, maybe my former life or my conversation would hinder me. You know, David must have entered into that thought. He prayed to the Lord and he said, "Remember not the sins of my youth." I believe he could have just as easily said, "Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my middle age. Remember not the sins of my old age. Remember not the sins of my youth." Remember what Nathan said to David? David said, "I've sinned against the Lord. He wrote in the Psalms, he said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." But what did Nathan say to him? Oh, this must have brought joy to David's heart. He said, "The Lord hath put away thy sin." Maybe you might ask this, is His grace enough for me? Is His grace enough for a sinner like me? Turn to 2 Corinthians 12. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in thy weakness. Is His grace enough? His grace is sufficient. It's enough. I believe it's Tom Hardy said, when he said, "What's that mean?" He said, it's enough to get the job done. His grace is sufficient. What doth hinder me from being baptized? My last point. Look at Philip's answer. He said, "If you believe with all your heart." He that believeth on the Son hath life. What do we read of Abraham? All the way back there in the Old Testament, Abraham believed God. What do we know about Abraham? Abraham was an idolater. Nothing to commend him to God. But God called on him to leave his country, his family, his father's house. The Lord spoke to him and he said this, "I am thy exceeding and great reward." Believe. Believe. Believing Christ is coming to Christ. Just like that Canaanite woman. She came to him. She cried for mercy. And guess what she received? She received mercy. Peter cried, he said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Believing Christ is receiving Christ. We read, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power, the right, the privilege, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Believing Christ is looking to Christ. Back there in Isaiah, we read, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God, and there is none else." Believing Christ is committing to Christ, committing to Him. Paul said, "I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him." Lock, stock, and barrel. I've committed it unto Him. My confidence is not in my way, not in my walk, not in my works, not in this world. My confidence is in Christ and Christ alone. Do you believe with all your heart? In closing, Brother Henry wrote an article several years ago, and I thought this was appropriate. He said, "A man can be saved and not know whether he is a pre, post, or amillennialist. But a man cannot be saved who does not know Christ. A man can be saved without a love for Tulip. But a man cannot be saved without a love for Christ. A man can be saved who refuses the lordship of elders. But a man cannot be saved who refuses the lordship of Christ. A man can be saved who does not enter into the rest of your Sabbath. But a man cannot be saved who has not ceased from his labors and entered into the rest which can only be found in Christ, who is our Sabbath." What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, thou mayest." And that eunuch answered, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All right. I pray God would bless His Word.